Well, I want to say thank you to all of you. You are precious in my sight, in our sight. You have enabled us to be here, to raise our family here, to go here and there, to have such a privilege of sharing the good news. That's you guys. God moving upon the hearts of people, but just wanna let you know, I do it occasionally, but maybe not often enough. I just want you to know how much you're appreciated, because you are. You know? And I happened to watch a message by a guy. He was a young man in a very successful church in California. On August 12th, he gave a message, and sometime last weekend, he killed himself. He'd been battling depression, I guess. He was just coming back from 4 weeks of forced sabbatical. His church had... He had a breakdown around Easter time, and so they had sent him away. And he shared in that message how many great things and how much he had found to run to the Lord, but he shared that it was still a battle. And as I listened to the message, I thought, man, I mean, this is in less than 2 weeks. He ended up taking his own life. And I don't understand that. I think that we all battle things. I think that the enemy does his best to take us down. I mean, he does. But we remember that he isn't the one in authority. We know that. We know these things are true. We know this about the Word of God. And yet, we know that many, many fight a fight, and it would seem like it's a good fight, and yet they lose the fight, but that doesn't change God. Doesn't change Him one little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 begins with, "Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. Therefore, where's that coming from?" Well, you know, I'm sure you've done this before in your Bible. You're reading and you go, okay, I need to go back and see what the therefore is about. Because it's coming off of, as we know, these letters were written and people chaptered and versed them by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, just as much as the one who penned them. But if we were reading this without chapter and verse, we could go up to the previous paragraph, and in the previous paragraph, 2 Corinthians 3 ends with, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." What veil? Well, verse 12 says that since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Verse 13 says, "We're not like Moses who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was designed to fade away." Verse 14 says, "But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they can't understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Jesus Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses, writings in their hearts are covered with a veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away." Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, we know that veil is a curtain, and it's a curtain that was rent in the Old Testament. But the truth of the matter is that veil is on a curtain rod in today's age. And that veil is opened up and we see clearly, and then sometimes that veil gets closed and we ain't seeing like we should. But just like it is if, you know, the old, I am my mother in her nightgown and me in my sash, I threw up to the window and threw open the sash. I don't know if that's exact words, but I know that the sash is right anyway. I am my nightgown, maybe mother. I don't know what it was, but he threw open the sash so he could see because there arose that big clatter. He threw it open to see. There's a clatter going on. Remember we talked about clutter? And we talked about avoiding doubt. And here comes a miracle. Such a beautiful little miracle. Grandma just walks out and here comes the baby. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And just that easily, we can move that curtain back and something beautiful comes into our life. You know? Thinking about the good things. Chris Christopherson wrote a song and said, "For the good times." Sad song, but it's a good thought. For the good times. And God has given us good times. He's shown us the way. And it's up to us to throw back that curtain. It's up to us to say, wait a minute, that veil has been removed. We all were behind a veil. None of us understood. None of us saw. You know, I've been there. I was in church and in church and in church and never saw. And then when I did see, we have all kinds of opportunities to let it go. We have all kinds of opportunities to doubt. We have all kinds of opportunities to be caught up in other things. But our greatest opportunity is to throw that veil back and see clearly. To fight to see. Now we can't move the clouds to see the sunshine when we'd like to see the sunshine. But we can look beyond the clouds. We can know that there's sun there. You see, a little kid could get scared when the sun disappears. Because a little kid doesn't know that the sun's behind the clouds. And in fact, in ancient times, you know, the people would sacrifice to false gods if the sun would disappear because, you know, they wanted the sun to come back. So, you know, they'd pick a kid and sacrifice the kid to the sun god so the clouds would move. Then they figured out that the clouds would move anyway, but sometimes they just did things like that anyway. You know? I mean, we learn things. We learn things in life. We learn, you know, if I'm standing here and I start to lose my balance, if I can't get my balance, I've been hitting and rolling long enough that I do my best to hit and roll. Now, sometimes you hit and roll, it doesn't work out nearly so well, but it's always better than it would have been if you just plopped. We learn things. We learn things, and therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. Since God in His mercy enabled us to see, we don't give up. Since God in His mercy removed that veil, we don't give up. Since God in His mercy has given us this new life, we don't give up. We don't give up. And if somebody does give up, we become more determined not to give up. Therefore, because of this, because God has done great things for us, we don't give up. We should never give up. And what should we never give up? We should never give up what God has given us. We should protect it. We should guard it. The Bible says to guard it. The Lord has set a hedge about us. We need to know that He's got a hedge about us. So even if it seems like things are coming through the hedge like a sieve, that's not the truth. God has put a hedge about us. Whether by many or by few, it's nothing for the Lord to help. all things are possible with God. Never give up on those words. Don't let them become words. Cause them to maintain the life that they have. Because they are life-giving words. It's a living word. So once the veil has been rent, we know that every word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so we're going to hold on to the words of God. And so if it says it, we're going to stay in it until it's real. Because you're never going to let me down, Lord. You're never going to let me down. You're never, never, never. You're never going to let me down. And you have promised to perfect me. I won't let go of the fact that you have promised to perfect me. And you love me when I'm not perfect. Vicki sent me an email. I'd already gotten the email, but it's Chris Volatin, whatever it is. Anyway, he talked about the fact that when he was growing up, that basically what his grandfather did was give him a place where he'd be loved when he wasn't perfect. And ultimately, that was the sum and substance of what he was saying, is that we need to be people that create a place where people can be imperfect. Where we don't expect too much because we have the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit which He's given us. So then we fight against those things. And the enemy doesn't quit trying. I was down in Springfield Thursday, and I shared with the guys that once again this week I had one of those opportunities on the interstate. Maybe I shouldn't drive the interstate, but I had one of those opportunities on the interstate where I see somebody coming and they are just screaming up behind me, and then it's like, I don't know, maybe they looked at their speedometer and decided that they were going too fast, but then they are right on my left hip going along, and ahead of me is a slow-moving vehicle. And a courteous driver would see that slow-moving vehicle, and they would either slow down or speed up and get past. But once again, I had one of those people that apparently after they looked at their speedometer, they quit looking at anything, and they're just right there on my hip. And so once again, I hit my brakes, and I have this thought in my head, but it wasn't as loud, but the same thought was there, a descriptive word for people that drive like that. And I just said out loud, that's just stupid. Not about him, about me, that could come up. That doesn't even need to be there. So I have decided that from now on, when I get on the highway, I'm going to begin to bless every driver that comes around me and be prepared to bless them even when they do that kind of stuff. So that the first thought in my mind won't be that other thought. Because I don't need those other thoughts. Now that may not seem like such a big deal, but apparently it's a big enough deal that I had it twice. God gave me a way out. I'm never going to give up on that. We should never give up on what God gives us. Will I do it perfect for the rest of my life? Oh, the Lord knows I hope so. I do hope so. But I know this, God's going to love me even when I'm imperfect. And maybe that's the most important thing for us to not let go of. To never give up on. You know? To never give up on those promises of God. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, maybe something we should never give up on is looking for that new way. Looking for what's new about the new way. There was gal at the nutrition center the other day, and I noticed that she got a new car. There probably would be some people that think she shouldn't have even had her old car, but she got a brand new car. And she's got a brand new car that she can't, she says, I'll never learn everything about it. I said, I'm not, so, you know, I think there's some people that, who created the thing that may not know everything about it. Because there'll be updates to the software. There'll be new things. And I have to be honest with you, when it comes to a lot of things in technology, I'm perfectly willing. I won't give up what I do know, but I don't spend a lot of time trying to learn the next thing unless it interferes with what I do know. And maybe that's a good picture too. If something interferes with what you do know, knock it down. Because we know that God is good. Because He has given us this new way, we should never give up. We have a new way to handle everything. Everything. And we have another new way to handle everything that we can't handle. It's a continuing, it's an ever-renewing, it's a living water. And so it is, you know, technology is trying to be God. Technology gets its inspiration from the Spirit of the living God. You know, the cloud. I remember when they first talked about the cloud, I thought literally it was a cloud, it was a satellite somewhere. You know, I didn't know what it was, but you can just put your stuff on the cloud. And I thought, first they tell us we got to put it on a hard drive. Then they tell us we got to put it on a disk. Then we tell us we got to burn it to a CD. They tell us all this, and now they tell us you'll never have enough room for all of that. You just got to put it on the cloud. Who's in charge of the cloud? Who pokes around in the cloud and looks at everything that I've got on the cloud? The people who own the cloud. But here's the deal. If I want to have the things that I want to have, I'm going to have to let them have the cloud. And I can't wake up in the night going, oh God, what's happening to my stuff on the cloud? I can't wonder. I can't get into my bank account right now. And it says something about that I've got to have something about, because people can look into the things that I got. And they said, so go change this. What they said to change isn't there. So do I give up my bank account out of their fear that somebody's going to search it? Or do I call them and say, would you let me into my account, please? I logged in just the way I always have logged in, and now it tells me I'm failing. When I talk to them, they'll tell me they changed something and all I got to do is do this and they'll fix it and it'll be just fine. The money's not gone. The account's not gone. It's just something new. And so I'm going to have to put up with something new. You know, I've come a long way since my kids forced me into texting. I've come a long way since I first stated, I don't want to read my email on my phone, I want to sit at my computer. I don't hardly sit at my computer anymore, except it's quicker to clean out the junk at the computer. But oftentimes when I have a break, I'm cleaning it out on my phone, I'm looking at the stuff, I'm putting notes on my phone, I'm doing stuff. My calendar's on my phone, everything's there. The stuff that I never would have thought would have been there is there. It's a new way. So if I will put in that effort for that, how about if I will never give up because God's given me a new way? Hi, baby. How about if I just believe what He says, there's a new way? You know, there was a lot of stuff. You know, you think about, you know, the Apostle Paul, he didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have a cloud. He didn't have all of the volumes of teachings that we've been exposed to. He didn't have all of that stuff. He just believed God. He said, I saw Jesus. People laughed at Oral Roberts when he said he saw Jesus and he was 400 feet tall. They mocked him. They knocked him. They did every kind of a thing. They mocked and they knocked and they did all kinds of stuff when Paul said that he saw Jesus too. I'm guessing if Oral Roberts said he saw Jesus, he saw Jesus. He later said the biggest mistake he ever made was trying to put a height on him. Because who can figure out 400 or 4,000 feet? Now, if you're standing at somebody's feet, and how are you going to measure them? Somebody 6'5" is really tall to me. I could think they're 7'2". And they say, oh, no, I'm only 6'5". Well, that's tall when you're 5'10", 9, half, whatever I am. But you can't see. God is abundantly above and beyond anything we can hope or imagine. And so we got all kinds of things that try to steal our imaginations. We got all kinds of things that try to rob us. We got all kinds of things that try to cause us to doubt and to fear and everything else. Maybe we should just look and try to figure out how tall Jesus is. The important part about that is getting our eyes on Jesus. Because when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, that old song is so true. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I had a wonderful, wonderful time last night. Every time I would wake up, I would be thinking of new things to sing to Jesus. Instead of having to work my way to that, instead of having to go through all those other thoughts of what I'm into, you know, and it's really a miraculous thing, because yesterday I began on a mission, once again I'm looking for something. My John Deere tractor book is missing. I know it's somewhere. And I looked, and while I'm looking, Vicki's asking me questions. And I'm doing my best not to answer, because I don't need questions. I got all the questions. But I'm looking, and then I'm looking again, and then I'm looking again. And in somebody's a John Deere tractor expert, I'm trying to figure out for sure where I put in transmission fluid and what kind of fluid to use, because my gears weren't working real good yesterday. But no matter, I'm searching for something. So I was really relieved. I'm really relieved now as I think about it. Then when I woke up, I wasn't trying to figure out where that book was. I had worship to God going through my head. It was there. It was something that I always want to be. It's what I always get back to when I can't go to sleep. But it's really good to wake up and that's what's in my mind. A new thing. So, Lord, can I have that new way every day? Can my nights always be filled with that, without me having to go to it, maybe wake up to it? Wake up to a chorus. Wake up to a choir. Wake up to listen unto heaven. Wake up, you know, wake up to that. Hallelujah. That would be a new way that I could really love. Since the Lord has given us this new way, we never give up. We. Therefore, we. We. We are one in the Lord. We are one with believers all over the world. But we are closest with we. I think Sly and the Family Stone sang, we are family. My brothers and my sisters and me. We. Therefore, we. We are me. We are each other. We wake up in the night. Guess what we can do? We can pray for one another. We can ask God to bless one another. We can pray that everything will be wonderful for one another. We can pray if we know that someone's sick. We can pray for them, but we can pray that they never get sick. We, because we got a new way. We got something new. We start a church and now we got something new. And that new thing is wonderful, isn't she? She is just precious, and she knows she's precious. Because everybody tells her she's precious. Apparently her daddy told her she needed to go see her grandma. Oh my goodness. Everybody, pray for grandma and grandpa. That is, pray for grandma, John says. She's the one that thinks that we can do this. You know? But isn't that wonderful? Taking on a task like that, it'll be wonderful. Therefore, we can take on anything. We take it on. When Cheryl was diagnosed with cancer, we take it on. We take it on. We take it on because we're in the community, but we take it on because Wayne is we. And if she's with he, she is we. Therefore, we got a whole new way of looking at things. We never give up. We never give up because we know that we can always get up. Yesterday I helped my brother-in-law. He's my brother-in-law. Helped him fix his roof. Okay? He can't fix his roof. I took my tractor over there. He raised me up in the tractor so that we could fix his roof. When I got up there, I could see the problem as easy as could be. Besides the fact that they had stapled right through the shingles and that's why the shingles came off, there was a hole in the roof. Not a place where water had to find to go through. It was a hole. And somebody had basically patched it. It looked like they put chicken wire or something there to patch it. But something poked a hole in the paper. So they'd been getting water coming down every time it rained. And right down in that spot, always ran right into that place. It was just perfect. I told them 3 months ago, let's fix that. We've had a little rain in the last 3 months. But now it's fixed. But it was easy to see. Absolutely easy. And I'm in the bucket, and I'm up there, and I'm putting the tar on stuff, and I lose my balance. I didn't dive off the tractor. I caught my balance. All the time, I was prepared to figure out how to hit so it wasn't as bad. And as I was writing the devotion this morning, I was remembering that when I was in college and I worked for a company cribbing a grain elevator, every day we went higher. It was okay when you could jump off the edge to the ground. We kept going higher and higher and higher. And as you go higher, you go to smaller boards. You start with 2x12s, you go to 2x10s, you go to 2x8s, go to 2x6s, you go by 2x4s. So we're up in the 2x4 section. And there's a guy that works there. He stands up on the 2x4s and hammers from the outside. Stands like this with 100 feet below him going like this. And I'm going, oh my goodness, I'm not wanting to do that. I said then I will never work high again. After that, I obviously went and painted grain elevators. But you know what I thought about in the night after we got up so high? I would have dreams about how to land safely. I had dreams of running off the edge and landing out in a field safely. How stupid is that? You ain't going to land safely from 100 feet. But the thing was, I was trying to figure out how to live through the fall. Trying to figure out how they would ever dig me out if I fell inside into that little chute at the bottom of the grain bin. You know, what do you suppose those are? 14 inches, John? Something like that? I don't know. Those little squares at the bottom of those cribbed elevators. I also had dreams of falling down there and being packed into one of those. How are they going to get you out? How are you going to live through it? You know, strange things to have imaginations of. Strange things. So if I can spend time on strange imaginations, now I got a new way. And the new ways aren't about how I'm going to overcome it. It's how God's going to overcome it. and certain that I don't ever need to give up because I'll recover just like Peter did. Peter recovered from denying Jesus three times. Paul would rehearse the things that he'd been through, but every time he rehearsed the things that he'd been through, he always said, but God delivered me out of all of them. God delivered me out of all of them. God delivered me out of all of them. What did he want them to think most on? That God delivered him out of. Not of what he'd been through, but that God delivered him out of them. It's a new way. And because of that new way, Paul could say, you know, I have learned to be content in every situation. Anybody still working on that? Well, I think we're all still working on that. But we got something to work toward. We got a picture of it. We've got a new way. We got that to remind us. We got to say, wait a second, I can be content in every situation. I can. You'll get to use that today at the fair. I can be content in every situation, in every circumstance, because everything might be good with you, but there might be one of them crazies at the fair. Yeah. You know, we can put those things to use. That's why God gave us the Bible. That's why he gave us the Word of God, to put it to use. And so, because he has given us a new way, therefore, because when someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom! Sorry, Barb. Let me tell you something, that's a new way. Yeah. Sometime it might just absolutely be beneficial to just yell, freedom! Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. That's what that guy yelled as they were killing him. What was it? Yeah. In the movie. What was the movie? Braveheart. As they were finishing a terrible torturing, he yelled, his last words were, freedom! Wasn't necessarily a Christian thing, but maybe it was. But the worst thing that can happen is the best thing that can happen. It's a new way. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him, as we are changed into his glorious image. Therefore, we never give up. Go to your mirror and say, you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday. By faith, you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday, because he's doing his part, whether we recognize it or not. When we rode out in the hills, I'm reminded that when we went by Crazy Horse, it's been going on forever. Before you get to Crazy Horse, you ride by the faces of Mount Rushmore, and they're just there. It's like they've been there ever since I've been alive. They just appeared there. They've been there. I know they're there. I know. We got a place where we come across on the backside from Hart Ranch to Keystone, and we come up over this one rise, and right there, they're there. They're there from there every time. But I don't believe I'll ever see Crazy Horse finished. But it is taking shape. And I noticed this time, I know it's been there a long time too, but I noticed this time as we went by, they got a big hole in that baby. And on a motorcycle, trying to see what's through that hole, you can't see much. But I bet there's something there. probably a reason for that hole there. I don't know what that hole is about. Maybe it's going to end up, I don't know. I don't have any idea. Somebody knows, though. I thought when I went by, I said, my goodness, how did they get that plan? And then I thought about Mount Rushmore, and I said, whoa, that's just crazy. And how long did it take for it to get to be something? So they can dynamite all day long, and unless you live there and watch it all, you can drive by and not know what in the world they did. But to them, it's looking a little more like it all the time. You see a picture for us? Do you see a picture for us to know that we are looking a little more like Him all the time? Some things are significant. Some things we might think are insignificant, but it's a piece that had to be fixed, and God fixes it. And we didn't even know He did it. We don't even know what's going on. We don't even know how He's getting us into His image. We don't know how He's doing it, but since He's given us a new way, we can relish that thought. How would that thought compare with some of those other thoughts that invade our lives? It would be better, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? So we, because we are family, we never give up. Because God in His mercy has given us this new way. And it's a wonderful way, and it's a special way, and it's a personal way for every one of we. And we are for one another. And we bear with one another. And we pray for one another. And we rejoice as we realize these things. And we're forgiven when we miss it. And we're encouraged. And we're built up. And we can hit and roll safely through everything with the Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. That's a new way. Whose some son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all the work that You're doing in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the fact that we do. Every day we look a little more like You. And that's based on Your promise, not on what we see, not what anybody else sees, not what anybody else says, not what anybody else thinks. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The veil has been rent for us. We're going to throw it back. Wake up in the morning and throw back the curtains to see what the Lord has done. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.